Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, welcome back for hour number two. A Fantasy Sports Today, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina, George Kurtz. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Galina, G-A-L-L-I-N-A. Find George Kurtz on Twitter at George Kurtz, K-U-R-T-Z. Sean Engel doing a great job producing our show, as always, the Fantasy Prince in the house. And having a lot of fun today, breaking down the action in Major League Baseball for the Saturday slate, but discussing player news, waiver wire ads all at the same time, just kind of intertwining box scores, player news, and any action that you have or that on the waiver wire, some players that you should know about. So, Georgia, you going to be active on the waiver wire this week? Keeping
you know, one of my
go ahead. I'm sorry.
In one of my leagues, though, we already ran the wave. They run the waiver wire on They run the waiver wire on Thursdays. That's the league with Derek Van Riper as the commissioner, and I think his theory was, you know, we all play in leagues where it's always on Sunday nights. He wanted to be different and do it on Thursdays, which always throws me off. By the way, I play in another league, a home league, where they run it every day, and I like that much better. Run it every damn day. You know, this way, it always bothers me, Joe, that, you know, on Monday, you'll have a feeling about a player. Like, maybe you were, maybe Chavis, I think the perfect example is Michael Chavis on Boston. You know, Monday, you might have been like, you know what, I'm going to grab Chavis. I'm feeling good about him. And it might have cost you $3-4. But, hey, waivers doesn't run till Sunday. And now everybody and their mother's going to be running to go get Michael Chavis because he has 19 home runs and hit 40 RBIs this week, and he's leading the Red Sox revival. So now instead of $3-4 that might have cost you for Chavis on Monday, it's going to cost you 30, 40, 50. You know, and it will, by the way. That's his price is going to go through the roof tonight as far as getting him. That's why I hate one-day-a-week waivers. So anyway, what I was saying is on Thursday – you know, in that league, I was heavy on the waiver wire board. I think I claimed 6 players. And I took a nice donut, 0-6. So, really not happy right now to lose. Listen, it's an 18-team league. Most of those players are garbage anyway. But let you know, when someone decent comes on the waiver wire in that league, everybody and their mother runs towards the waiver wire. It's a one-day-a-week thing. So you're playing the game. How much do I bid? And I lost. Mm. And I don't think it was all that close on any of them, other than maybe, you know, $4 to a $2 bid, something like that. But, that was I'm pissed. I should go to Burger King and get a pissed meal.
There you go. So in an 18-team league, waiver wire has got to be real thin, and you're taking lots of, dart throws, basically, right, taking a chance of some players hoping to catch fire.
Of course. You know, in 12-team leagues, it's not much on the waiver wire board. In an 18-team league, like I said, someone just comes up. Oh, this player's starting now. Okay, let's go out and grab him. You know, Sean Kelly was big this week because they removed Leclerc out of the closing role for Texas. So Sean Kelly was big, and I lost out on him. Once again, I didn't want to bid high on someone like Kelly because I don't think he's going to have the job long term. But I do need a closer in that league. Actually, I probably could use 2 closers in that league. That's the league where – it's another column I wrote about this week that I'm going to have to make a decision, Joe. Eventually, not yet, but eventually I'm probably going to have to make a strategical decision. I never go into a draft thinking I'm going to punt the category. And generally when we say punting categories, the two categories that come up the most often would be steals and saves. Maybe I should punt this category. I never go into a draft thinking that. Never. It might happen during a draft because I couldn't get anybody, but generally I always end up with one. Well, in this 18-team league, I only have one closer. And I assumed that I would be able to play the waiver wire and get at least one or two during the season. So far, that hasn't worked out for me. I keep losing on these bids, as I just mentioned. I still only have one closer. Obviously, in that category, I think I'm third to last. So I only have 3 points. Eventually, I'm going to have to make a decision. Do I punt the category? And by that, I mean, do I trade that one closer I have? You know, if I trade that one closer, yes, I will lose 2 points. I'll go from 3 to 1. You know, I will finish last. But can by trading, you know, if I trade that closer to Joe Galina, and Joe Galina gives me a better second baseman than I have, a better player in another position, another starting pitcher, can I make up the points that way? If I'm not going to be able to get any more closes, I'm not going to be able to gain any more points and saves, then maybe I do have to punt that category and get that player. You know, Joe is, you know, he's got 10 points. Whatever you can get in saves. Joe can get 6 more in saves. So he wants the closer. He's willing to give me a good player. You know, maybe it's a stolen base guy, maybe it's a power guy, maybe it's a pitcher, whatever I need. Can I make up the points that way? You got to play the math game. You know, I promised there'd be no math here, but that's what we have to play sometimes. So I might end up punting anyway. Because it's just not working out for me. I'm not doing it yet. It's May 5th. But I have a funny feeling by Memorial Day, you know, that's usually a checkpoint for me, the first holiday. If I'm unable to get another closer and I don't start building up some points in that save category, that's a decision I'm going to have to make, where I'm going to have to move that one closer I have for a better player in another position.
Right. And it just seems like a good strategy at your point where – you know, eventually, if you do follow through on this, you're trading away a pitcher that basically helps you basically in one category. And if you get a player back, a position player that could help you in more than one category, you know, it's probably a good strategy for you. But in the leagues that you're in, does it seem that the heavier fab bids go for whenever there's a new closer or whenever there's somebody that's called up that could steal some bases? Those are the two key? Because you talked about them being the two categories that fantasy players might punt the most. But at the same time, do you feel that they're very those players are really highly sought after on the waiver wire as well?
Well, I mean, you never see a stolen base guy get called up. You know, that's just not going to happen in today's game. We don't run as much. And by we, I mean Major League ball players. They just don't run as much. The stats are out there. They'll tell you that easily. You know, it's the old money ball. The teams don't like giving up those outs and going, you know, gaining 90 feet is not a big deal. You're all playing for the home run anyway. You know, so stolen bases aren't that big a part of today's Major League Baseball. They're just not. So you're not going to see that get called up. You will see, obviously, not so much closers get called up, but, you know, we know the deal. You know, 30 closers in baseball, half will lose their job by the All-Star break for whatever reason. You know, the clerk who, like, we all say, oh, my God, he got the 4-year contract. You know, they overpaid him. Well, apparently not. Or, you know, he's pitching like crap. You know, he got replaced already. They do say he'll come back, right? That he just he got temporarily replaced, you know, and that eventually he'll get the job back. And they probably will because they just signed the 4-year contract. They're going to want him to figure things out. But it's Sean Kelly's job for now. I don't think it's long term. I think when you're talking about fab bids, sure, you want to bid on him, but you want to keep it in single digits. I mean, like I said, you may be getting Sean Kelly for a week, 2 weeks. And then it goes back to LeClerc or goes to somebody else. You never know what the way these things are going to go. Plus, Texas, not really all that great a team. Sean Kelly could be on the move by the trade deadline if another team wants a middle reliever. You know, that wouldn't shock me either.
Right. Good point. All right, let's take a look at the Braves-Marlins game. Braves beat the Marlins 9-2. Braves now 17-16. Marlins 9-23. Ozzie Albies, 2-for-6. I believe he hit a grand slam home run. 5 runs batted in for Ozzie Albies. Josh Donaldson took an 0-for-6, but just happy, you know, very happy just to see that he's still in the lineup. I don't know any shares of him, but I thought we were on our way to seeing him hit the IL. I think there were some stories about him having some issues with his calf again, and, you know, he's had a terrible injury history the past couple of seasons. But Ronald Acuna, 4-for-4 day, now batting 294. Brian McCann, Nice ad, I believe, in my opinion, in a two-catcher league, playing at home, coming off the IL. 2-for-4 yesterday, 3 runs batted in, now batting .320. Don't think he's going to be batting over .300 for the rest of the season. But, you know, he's in and out of the lineup. But I just think that this year he's not going to kill you the way he has in the past years with that batting average. I think he's just happy to be home. But we got Mike Soroka, 7 innings pitched, 0 earned runs given up, 6 strikeouts, 1.14 ERA, 1.01 whip. George, what do you do, well, if you want to even comment on the Brian McCann thing that I mentioned, but what do you do with the Braves starting pitching? I mean, it's just basically the shuffling of people up and down from AAA. I mentioned Soroka giving up a run or less in 4 starts. Injuries have been a problem for him in the past. Hopefully that's behind him. Max Fried, 5 starts, 2.43 ERA. Kyle Wright looks like he's going to be staying down in the minors for a while, slumping down there. Tehran, 5.35 ERA. Gausman, almost a 5 ERA. It's very tough to manage, and, you know, this Braves starting pitch staff, George. Every time I invest in one, then they just basically, you know, tank for me.
Well, the Braves are running their starting pitching staff like I run my in fantasy league. What they're doing is they're trying to figure it out. You know, if you didn't draft, you know, a whole bunch of great starters in your fantasy league, you know, you churn. You keep churning until you find out, until you find something you like. It's really what they're doing. You know, and I don't think that's a bad thing, by the way. It's bad for fantasy owners because you're trying to figure things out here. But it's not bad for the Braves. I think it's working out for them because they're going to keep trying combinations until they figure something out they like, what they can live with. It's sort of, think about the hockey teams and how the coaches always change lines. You know, they change players on lines so they find the combinations that work. I think seeing the Braves do the same thing here. You know, they just keep churning it. All right, this is not working. Let's go with these guys. You know, we'll call this guy. I'll get rid of him. Listen, I think Folty, Tehran, and Gausman you're certainly in there. You don't have to worry about them. Tehran, you got to worry about his production. I think, you know, he's very good. Folty, this is really, you know, first couple of starts for him for the regular season. So it might take him a little while to get into it. But I think these guys are safe. I think right now this is your rotation, by the way. Fried and Soroka, I think, is their 5 best. They keep calling up and down Tuki Toussaint. You know, but I don't think he's going to be a main threat. But I think he's next in line if there's an injury. Or if they ever decide with Tehran, you know, hey, we'll move on from Tehran. That sort of thing here. Then I think Tuki is next in line. But we've seen him be up and down. And you mentioned Kyle Wright not playing or not pitching all that well right now. Bottom line is this. You know, Bryce Wilson's in this mix as well. This organization is loaded with young prospects. Loaded. So they can keep playing this game until they find the combo they like. But I do think right now, I think this is what they're going to go with. What they're going to roll with outside of injury is Folty, Tehran, Gausman, Fried, and Soroka. Listen, you might want to acquire Folty on the cheap right now. I think his owners might be a little annoyed. You know, maybe they're going to the Burger King and getting the pissed meal. So they might be a little annoyed there because Folty, you know, he was out. I had to wait for him a month to come back. And then when he does, he hasn't pitched all that great. You know, I think, once again, you might want to buy low here because I do believe in Folty as the season moves on here. Tehran is someone I want to get rid of. You know, if anybody would offer me something for him, I would trade him. Gausman is somewhere in the middle. Yeah, I don't think he's all that great, but he's not bad either. He's a bottom of your fantasy rotation, you know, that sort of thing. I know Scott Engel would get mad at saying rotation. He plays with staff in fantasy leagues, you know, whatever. All right. And Max Fried and Soroka, I think, are the two best of their youngsters. You know, I think Soroka, it's just all about staying healthy. I think he is that good. I just had to stay healthy last year, couldn't do it. This year suffered a little bit as well. So I think that this is their best 5 right now, assuming no injury or obviously a trade.
Right. For the Marlins side, Zach Gallen is a guy people are starting to talk about. And he's a guy that, you know, if you have some room on your bench and don't have to drop anybody too valuable, one of the top pitching prospects right now is the way he's pitching for the Marlins, Zach Gallen, in the AAA PCL League, New Orleans outfit that, you know, for the Marlins, 4-0, 1.12 ERA, 0.545 whip. And what's even more impressive is he has almost 11 strikeouts per 9, but just a little over 1 walk per 9. So, yeah, that's in 40 innings pitched so far this year. I think he's got plenty of life left to him because he pitched 133 innings last season. So I don't think there's going to be too many limitations put on him. But very impressive what's been going on with Zach Gallen. And no immediate plan on getting him up here, but you never know. Just you could wake up one day and just read the news and see, hey, the Marlins just called up Zach Gallen. So he's starting to trend as one of the most added players. But you could still probably pick him up off your waiver wire on the cheap right now.
Sure, you can get it for a dollar if you want. I wouldn't be running out to get him, mind you. But you could.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why. I don't see why you'd want to get him. I don't know if he does get called up. Once again,
you know why? Because my pitching sucks. So I'm looking for. just looking for a little lightning in a bottle.
A lot of us have that issue. The problem with the Marlins is going to be this: there's no reason for them to call up anybody. They're not playing for anything this year or next year, maybe the year after that. All right, Derek Jeter is already he's all pissed at the organization. They're not doing what they want them to do. Someone put on Twitter, well, maybe you don't want to trade all your great players. I might add to that and say, maybe you don't want to trade all your great players and not get anything back for them. I think that's the biggest issue there, where they really just haven't gotten anything. As for the Marlins, they do have some good younger players as far as in minor league players. Victor Mesa could be something. Sixto Sanchez could be something. These are guys, once again, they could be. But they're not, only time will tell here. But they're not going to be calling up these guys until they know, right? Until they feel there's something worthwhile there. I'm looking at their, top 10 prospect list now. Zach Gallen's not even on it, as far as that's concerned. Their top pitching prospect is Sixto Sanchez and Edward Cabrera. Some people like Braxton Garrett, Will Stewart, Jordan Holloway, and, of course, Sandy Alcantara, who's with the team right now. But the bottom line is there's nobody there. Let's say even Zach Gallen gets called up and you like him. Well, at best, he's a three-category guy because you're not going to get wins, and obviously you're not going to get saves. So you hopefully there's the ratios, which how much damage can he do to ratios and strikeouts? So that's really what you're looking for is strikeouts. Zach Gallen, by the way, for those who don't know him, he was traded along with Alcantara in the Ozuna trade. So the guy from the Cardinals organization. Like I said, he's okay. I could see him being a back end starter on the Marlins rotation. But once again, not a top guy where you're like, oh my God, can't wait to get Zach Gallen in the lineup. No, he's not that player.
Yeah, all right. When we get to talking about the Indians, Corey Kluber hitting the IL. So you're right. There's a lot of fantasy players like me that need some help in the pitching category. Orioles beat the Rays 3-0. Really nothing much to report here. What do you think about Nate Lowe, the first baseman that the Rays called up this week? We can talk about that when we come back. But,
interesting song Sean decides to play there.
power hitting first baseman that they called up this week. Good batting average in minor leagues. We'll get George Kurtz's take when we come back. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy, more cowbell, baby. Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, the Fantasy Prince, Sean Engel, Little Blue Oyster Cult, and Don't Fear the Reaper. Little Muzak sample of that, and yeah, it always brings you back to that SNL skit with Will Ferrell, and needing more cowbell. And SNL, big news on SNL last night, where Adam Sandler, I guess it's big news, came back to host after back in 95, left the show. I didn't realize this, but I'd have to double check it, because in his opening monologue, I actually DVR'd it because I wanted to see how he would, you know, be, if he would like portray some of his older, more famous characters from back in the day. But he would played a little acoustic guitar, and he claims that he was fired from SNL. So I thought that these guys just basically, you know, once they became too big for the show and had opportunities to pursue a movie career, kind of left on their own. But I have to double check to see if that was true, what he sang about, that he was fired. But and then I also, just before, you know, kind of fell asleep to watching the very end of it, George, and he did a little actually a fairly long song. It was like 2 or 3 minutes about Chris Farley. And then, you know, a lot of clips from Chris Farley, because they were on the show together. To me, Chris Farley, like one of the funniest comedians, you know, over the past, you know, 20, 30 years. It's just the physical comedy, just love watching stuff, old clips of Chris Farley.
Well, thank you for that Saturday Night Live recap there. And woohoof. I don't think I've watched Saturday Night Live since the 80s. I'd lost interest in that a long time ago. As far as every now and then, I might see every now and then a skit, but yeah. I haven't watched it. And I say it's been a few decades since I've cared about that show.
Right, right. Okay. You've heard of Will Ferrell, right?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. I don't think I've seen any of his movies. Yeah, I don't like that. Just doesn't. I don't. When I said I am fairly certain I haven't seen any of his movies. I can't think of one I've seen. I'm not a big Adam Sandler fan either. Granted, there's been a couple
of
movies
I have seen.
Yeah,
I'm not a huge fan of his either.
I do like that one skit with Bob Barker. That skit with Bob Barker, I thought was funny, that you can find online about in the hospital room with him, their fake fight. I thought that was funny. I think I saw Happy Gilmore. You know, that was, once again, intriguing. With that, that's about it. Just not my kind of. I don't know. I just don't find that all that funny.
Do you have a favorite comedic actor or actress? Like, you know, do you like comedies, or are you more into the? You say you're into Star Wars. You're obviously into sports and stuff. But do you like comedies at all? Or
I don't think anything's all that funny nowadays. I think it's all sort of forced. Where I don't think anything's drop dead funny anymore. I don't, including on the talk, TV show, shows on TV. I think things are one thing. Everybody's got to be too politically correct now. We can't offend anybody. That it's comedy. I mean, you should be offending everybody. So I don't think there's any top comedic actor or actress. And nowadays, I mean, sure, back in the day, absolutely. But now, no one really comes to mind.
No, I love Will Ferrell. And even just that whole thing a couple of years ago where he play for almost every team in spring training? That was like 2 or 3 years ago. Do you remember that?
Man, that's dumb.
Okay. I mean, it wasn't hilarious. It was amusing.
Dumb.
I don't know if I'd say it was dumb.
It was dumb. Having a non-baseball player do this, who cares? Really, who cares? Why would anybody care that a non-baseball player is doing this? I mean, I didn't care. There was something about that. I remember when it happened, but it's like, okay, what's the point here?
Yeah. And you've never seen Anchorman?
No.
I think you should.
No.
No? Short angle, are you a Will Ferrell guy or no?
See, even Sean's not talking. That's how bad he is.
I'm sorry, what happened?
Okay. Will Ferrell, are you a Will Ferrell guy? Do you like Will Ferrell?
I like some of the stuff he's been in, such as the Anchorman movies, particularly Talladega Nights.
Of course, it depends
on the role with him, really.
All right, because I, you know, George is not a big fan. I suggested that he just, you know, maybe check out the first Anchorman movie and you know, maybe he could get a better sense. I mean, because he's admitted that he doesn't like him, but he hasn't seen any of his films. So maybe if he saw a film or two, maybe he'd change his mind. But anyway, all right, so let's get off this topic because, you know, George has no sense of humor. That's just basically it.
Yes, that's me.
Man, Joe, that was pretty underhanded.
Nate Lowe for Tampa Bay. He got called up, I think, in the middle of the week, so he probably would be eligible for a lot of people off the waiver wire. What do you think of Nate Lowe? I'm looking at his career numbers in the minor league, George. 301 batting average, 394 OBP. You got to love that. And like a 480 slugging. So this guy, you know, power hitter who could hit for average. Are you interested in Nate Lowe?
And my interest in Lowe really depends on what my needs are on my fantasy team. Do I need that corner infielder? Do I need a utility player? That sort of guy. So am I interested? I mean, I'm not, once again, I'm not running out to the waiver wire. We're not talking about a top prospect yet. You have to go out and grab here. So he's more like he's on the radar.
Right.
Now, by the way, there's no relation to Brandon for people who are wondering. They're not brothers, cousins, or anything like that.
Because Brandon's Lau, and this guy's Lowe. I think.
Yes, they
even though they spelled the same.
Somebody did, I forget who, probably ESPN, they actually did a segment on that about how these guys pronounce their names differently. I think it was Baseball Tonight, actually, or Fan. But not that it matters. Anyway, he's a 13th round pick out of Mississippi State and 16, for those who care. He's been, like I said, solid. You know, solid. He's actually, you know, it's funny, in his minor league career, at first he was trying to hit home runs, and then he decided to put more balls in play, and that's actually helped him, especially through the OBP. I think he's a guy who's, as far as his long term in baseball, a regular player. Not a star, not a scrub, just a regular ball player. So he does have some value here. The problem is, once again, you're talking about Tampa Bay, good pitcher's park, not a good home run hitting park. His job's going to be really to get on, and what happens if he doesn't? You know, how long is he going to stay? Is he going to have a full-time job? You know, so it's always the issue with any young player. You know, how patient will they be with him? Now, it's not like they have a truckload of prospects, you know, or a great bench. They don't. It's the Rays. This is what they have to do to compete. They need to find these young players who come up and play well. He also bats left-handed, same as Choi. That's interesting. So, what you know, there's no obvious platoon there, you know, so I might worry about that as well. He's a guy who I'm probably not. Listen, if I decided I wanted to grab him in a fantasy league, it'd be a dollar or two tonight, three, you know, nothing big. If I get him, great. If I lose him, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't be out going out and crying about it, that sort of deal.
Right. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Let's move on to the Twins and the Yankees. Twins beat the Yankees 7-3 yesterday. Mitch Garver, catcher, leading off 3-for-5, 2 runs batted in, hit a home run. Nelson Cruz also hit a home run, went 1-for-5, batting .298 on the season. Eddie Rosario, 1-for-5 yesterday. Has some good numbers except for the batting average, batting .222 so far this season. Jacob Rizzi got the win, pitched very well, 6 innings pitched. 0 earned runs, walked 4, struck out 8. His numbers on the season, 2.78 ERA, 1.09 whip. And I was listening to, on the way to my family party, was listening to the broadcast on the radio, and they were talking about how Oda Rizzi attended a pitching camp in Plant City, Florida, and he had been dealing with an issue common to many pitchers where getting past that lineup the third time around, you know, he'd get hit hard. So another guy, the top 10 in soft contact allowed. He's going to be a free agent next season. What are your long-term outlook on Oda Rizzi? Because he's been pretty much a guy, you know, I think he started with the Rays, right? And expectations were always kind of high. He's this kind of guy, like in the past for me personally, you know, he would be there late in drafts and I'd be like, oh, wow, he's there, and I'd take him. And then and he kind of give me mediocre production. But looks like he's trying to figure it out. And what do you think about him for long-term?
That's where the hard part's going to be. What do we think about him for long term? Now, you're right. In drafts, he was mediocre. You know, get him late, and you know, you plug him in the bottom of your rotation. Right now, he's better than that. He's much better than that. You watched him yesterday. It's not just because he pitched against the Yankees. The Yankee lineup right now is bad. All right, the bottom four hitters can't hit. You know, Gardner's batting .200, Romine .200, Tautman can't hit anything. And I forget the other player I'm missing there, but you get my point there. It's a bad lineup right now. And listen, Oda Rizzi was smart yesterday. He was smart. What I mean by that is, I don't know why more pitchers haven't done this against the Yankees. He pitched around the guys that could hit. The Yankees lineup is not long. It's very short. You make sure that Voit, Sanchez, Torres can't beat you, you're going to do well. You know, you pitch. You don't give those guys. If you have to walk them, fine. Force the Gardeners, the Romines to beat you. You know, let's see what happens there. Maben's the other guy. So you force those guys to beat you. And I think that's all that helped Walt Rizzi. That being said, he looked good. His ball was moving. Mm-hmm. He looked like a different pitcher. You know, and we knew Cam and I talked about this going in because we were both betting on the Twins yesterday, the bad guys, as we were calling them, to win this game. And part of the reason was because the Yankee lineup, Oda Rizzi looked good. Oda Rizzi, remember, he's hot. He's pitching well right now. And you look at who, I always look at who people pitched against because Hap came in pitching well also. But Hap had pitched against the Angels and the Giants. Right now, you and I could pitch against the Angels and Giants and we'd do pretty well. But Oda Rizzi, his two of his last three starts had come against the Houston Astros. That's a good hitting team. And he gave two runs in 12 innings to the Houston Astros. So that tells you something there, that he is pitching well right now. But your question was long term. And that's where I'm sort of stuck here. Because right now, because of Oda Rizzi's past history, everything's telling me to sell high. He's hot right now. Hey, two great starts against the Astros. You can play up the Yankee start as well. Not everyone's going to realize the Yankees have no lineup right now, but you can play that up. And against the Yankees pitching so well, you could play this up right now and try and get a player. But I'm also thinking maybe this is the start of something. You know, he's pitching for Minnesota. Good team, right? They have the best record in the majors, right? Good team in a ballpark that's at worst neutral, at best maybe even a little edge towards the pitchers. You know, so I do wonder if this is the start of something where he's the type of player who you might be thinking could be a fantasy MVP at the end of the year. Now, fantasy MVP doesn't mean Cy Young or anything like that, but he's someone you got around 22 who might win 15 games with ratios that are great. You know, that sort of thing here. So I'm starting to think that too. So I think he's a guy you can go both ways with, Joe. I think he's a guy you could sell high and see if you can get a more established player for him. He's also a guy, though, if I don't want to trade him I'll take whatever I can get for him. No, he's not that.
Not anymore.
If I can't get what I like, then I'm keeping him. But he's an intriguing player to watch right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree with you. So for the Yankees, Gary Sanchez, 1-for-2, hit his 11th home run, now batting .271. So you got to love what he's been doing pretty much with the bat all year long. Obviously, we've talked about his limitations as a defensive catcher. But, hey, Miguel Andujar back. How about that? 1-for-3, batting .250 on the year. Frankie Cheech, I call him Cheech, Frank Stanfield from the Fantasy BFFs. You could listen to them from 12 to 2 Monday through Friday, 12 to 2 Eastern Standard Time. He mentioned, he tweeted out basically, you know, we get one player back, and that means that the Yankees have to make a sacrifice. And yesterday's sacrifice was James Paxton, who didn't look good, looked uncomfortable on Friday night. We find out that he's going to be on the IL due to knee inflammation, George. So Yankees still a long way off from fielding a healthy squad. You mentioned earlier Frazier should be back tomorrow, right? We're thinking Aaron Hicks is starting to get some at-bats, so he might be a little closer to returning. No timetable really from what I've heard, unless you've heard differently, about Aaron Judge. And I saw you tweet it out, and I agree. I haven't heard much more about Giancarlo Stanton. But, you know, this is the last thing that the Yankees needed was another player on the IL, especially a pitcher like James Paxton, who had pitched so well past few starts.
Yeah, the updated Yankee injury report. Andujar did come back yesterday, and two more errors. This guy's a bad fielder. I mean, one was certainly a hard shot, but it went right through him. You got to catch that ball. He whiffed on it. And by the way, it had nothing to do with his arm. Neither throw had anything to do with the shoulder. People were worried about that. Another one was a slow hopper to third base. He tried to get the runner at second, and he threw it to right field. He threw it the right field by 20 feet. It was I don't know what he was trying to do there. So he still has defensive issues. You know, I mentioned with Cam yesterday. Now, I understood what Aaron Boone did, so I am not criticizing Boone. But my first wonder is why, you know, with the Yankees, with the lineup being so short and all the injuries, and Giovanni Urshela playing so well. Urshela is an ace defender. He always has been. You know, he's Greg Nettles, the third base. But he generally coming in, he couldn't hit. Now, but he's changed his batting stance. Now he can hit. So I'm like, well, why don't you just have Andujar play DH? No, but the shoulder protects him. He gets bat in the lineup, and you put Urshela at third. Now, the reason he didn't do that yesterday was purely to get Gary Sanchez's bat in the lineup. day game after a night game. Normally, Sanchez would have sat. Instead, Andujar played third. Sanchez was a DH. It made sense. So I understand what Boone did there. But I think on until the Yankees get anywhere near full health, which will be at least a month away, you play Andujar at DH. There's no reason to put him at third base. You play Urshela. Every now and then, maybe you put Andujar in the field. You keep letting him build up, strengthen that shoulder, let him hit. It makes sense. So I think that's what they'll end up doing. Fantasy wise, this doesn't change anything. Andujar still in your lineup starting next week. Now, as far as the other Yankee injuries, you want to go around the horn here, right? Andujar is back. Gregorius, the Yankees got good news on Gregorius. He's ahead of schedule. He could be rehabbing games at the end of this month, so he could be back somewhere within the next 6 weeks. The Yankees might get him back. Tulowitzki, if anybody cares, he had a setback, a calf injury, sets his progress back about a week. Once again, I don't know if anybody cares there, but Tulowitzki's maybe a week. Clint Frazier is playing in Trenton. He played there yesterday. I don't know if he'll play today, by the way, because of the rain here. So I don't know what that does for the Yankees' timetable here, but he was expected to come back tomorrow. That being said, the Yankees might have done something where they just give him make Frazier take a day off like Andujar on Friday and play Tuesday. We'll see, but he should be back shortly. Aaron Hicks should be beginning a rehab at the end of this week, next weekend at the latest, mid-May return. Aaron Judge, you mentioned him. No baseball activity yet. June at the earliest. Severino Betanz is also June. Stanton is the one you should worry about, folks, because we're not hearing anything about him. It's strange. The biceps injury led to a shoulder injury. He's barely swinging. What the hell is going on here?
Great recap. We'll be right back with more MLB action from yesterday. Waiver wire action as well. Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Galina, George Kurtz. Sean Engel producing our show, keeping us flying straight. And I just got a reminder in your email, George, that maybe I shouldn't say it because maybe I'll get shut out. But since I just mentioned it, but New York Comic Con tickets presale goes live at 10 a.m. So I just texted my wife, said, "Hey, if you're around, see if you can get some ticks." Have you ever been to Comic Con, George?
No.
You're more a sci-fi guy.
Tickets. I'm not going to Comic Con for anything. So it's whatever. Any kind of con, no. I think my cousin actually works for one of them. I don't know. Whatever. I'm pretty much strictly sports as far as stuff like that's concerned.
Sean Engel, you a Comic Con guy? Have you ever been?
I have been to Comic Con actually 2 times. Both were time ago, but I wouldn't mind at least going at least once or twice more, because I know the last 2 times I went was definitely a while back. But I know that the whole cultural phenomenon that is Comic-Con has greatly expanded in the last few years. So instead of it just being a convention, it's more like a whole event that just sweeps the whole city here right in New York. Mm-hmm. If anybody listening is ever in the New York area around Comic-Con time, you just see characters cosplaying everywhere, and it just so much. So interesting.
Yes. You see a lot of people walk around the city at that time all dressed up. And I've been to several. Have never dressed up at one, but who knows? Maybe one day I will. But actually, I also, 1 year I went to the one in San Diego. That's the Comic-Con that started it all. And I think this is the 50th year anniversary for the the Comic-Con, the first San Diego Comic-Con. So, and that was, I mean, New York is a lot of fun and it's great, but San Diego is definitely a great experience as well. So a lot of fun to be part of. So I'm going to try to get tickets, see if we go, because I think I missed last year, but I've gone, like I said, several times. It is a lot of fun. Obviously, George, you haven't seen Avengers Endgame yet.
I haven't seen most of the, what is that, Marvel?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it Marvel? Not even sure. I haven't seen. I've seen maybe one or two of the Marvel movies. Period. Not that I was never a big comic book fan in the first place. So I don't think I ever owned a comic book actually or a fan. I would probably wouldn't mind the movies if I ever found a list of the order yet to see them in. I would probably catch up, on Netflix or whatever it is. I'd catch up, but no, I won't go see it. The theaters, there's no point. I haven't seen the first 18 of them.
Right, right. Yeah, if you do have it, I mean, you know, it's great that you haven't seen them in a way because, like you said, they'll be brand new to you. So, yeah, I mean, check it out whenever you want. But they're Prince, are you into these Marvel movies? Did you see Endgame yet?
I actually did see Endgame. Yeah, I really did.
Yeah, I saw it as well. Liked it a lot. Yeah, and I was able to sit through the 3 hours without having to take a bathroom break.
Which me too.
That's the thing that was most impressive. But good stuff. And George, maybe we're going to be talking a little NFL. Maybe we'll take a look at the AFC East. But I'm a little ticked off at LeSean McCoy because he ruined the ending for me. And I'm not going to say what he did, but he tweeted out a blatant clue, which I'm a little ticked off at. So if the Bills want to just cut him, I'm very happy if they do.
Maybe well, you we can certainly say it now.
What's that, Sean?
Maybe we should give him the old Thanos finger snap there.
Ooh, yes. Yeah, he deserved the finger snap, absolutely.
But you could certainly say it now. The movie's been out, 2 weeks? I mean, I'm sorry.
One week.
Either way, all right? The spoilers are out there. But here's where I would blame you. Now, if you know... This movie is as big as it is. I'm a Game of Thrones guy, but I don't have HBO, so I can't watch Game of Thrones until a couple of hours later. I watch it on HBO Go. And now, I'm smart enough to know, Joe, though, that I probably shouldn't be on social media before I watch it. Yeah, I probably know I got to avoid that.
So let's say the movie debuted, let's say, last Thursday night, so you wanted me, and I didn't see it till like the middle of the week, you wanted me to stay off of social media for 5 or 6 days because it's clown?
I think you got to be very careful. I didn't watch the Game of Thrones until Thursday. It's 5 days. Yeah, yeah. I knew to avoid it on the social media, to look for it, to be very careful.
I didn't look for LeSean McCoy. Somebody that I must follow on Twitter must have liked his tweet, and it was on my timeline then. And then I just saw it. It was a quick blip. It's not like I looked for, hey, let me see what LeSean McCoy thinks about Avengers Endgame.
But the same thing with Game of Thrones. There was plenty of sports people who were tweeting about Game of Thrones, but I was able to avoid all the spoilers. I didn't know that Arya. I guess I don't want to be a spoiler. But once again, it's been a week. If I don't feel bad for you. Hell, the next episode's tonight. But I didn't know what happened there, and I was able to avoid it. And even though there's plenty of spoilers, including everybody in our industry was talking about it, and I was able to avoid it. It wasn't really all that difficult for me. So I don't feel all that bad. That being said, why anybody would do that specifically to screw people over is beyond me. I don't understand that. I think that I think McCoy was being a dick. I don't know why he would do that. I don't think that's funny. That reminds you of somebody like. Whenever I go out, if I'm reffing hockey games, I always tape the Yankee game, or I tape whatever sporting event I'm missing that I want to watch. And you always have these douche people who know you do that. And they tell you to score on purpose, or they think they're doing you a favor. Oh, don't bother watching the game tonight. It was terrible. asshole. All right, I didn't know that. I still would have liked to go home and watched it. It's also why I don't tell anybody I do that. Because I think it's also subconsciously they know it in the back of their minds, and now they might save a score by accident. So I never tell anybody. But generally, I'm able to avoid the score. I could find out. But I've always found that interesting. Some people feel they have to tell you. They're just being jerks. Oh, Yankees won 4-3. Oh, thanks, Dick. Thanks a lot. what is the point of being a jerk like that for? Yeah, I don't understand that. Whatever else somebody else enjoys. Like I said, I wouldn't purposely tell anybody Game of Thrones stuff. I wouldn't. I think that's kind of rude. You know, it might happen by accident. Hell, if you're listening to this radio show, sure, we might end up talking about Thrones or Avengers or whatever it is. But you got to know that's coming. We're not doing it to be really be annoying about it, but it is news somewhat, especially for Game of Thrones with what happened. You know, people are going to be talking about it. And I think, you know, once again, if you haven't seen Avengers, if you haven't seen Thrones, you have to realize that and probably stay off of it. You know, try to avoid it as much as possible. But yeah, I had heard what McCoy did. And I think it was a pretty douche move. I mean, it really was.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you doing?
Agreed.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Come on, Bills. Cut him. Cut him. Well, anyway, so I want to get back to the baseball action, but just real quick, without giving away any spoilers, because you never know. But Game of Thrones last week, did you like the episode? You know, in the first portion of the episode, so dark that I thought there was something wrong with my television, and we were watching it on a bit of a delay off of our DVR. My daughter's asking me, you did tape this in high definition, right? I said, yes. But yeah, just quick, did you like the episode last week?
I did. Listen, the darkness is actually a major talking point, right? Everyone's talking about how dark it was, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've known through forever that you know, whenever I watch, I always turn out the brightness on my TV, because really every episode has been dark, and we mean dark by actual color, folks, not as the storyline. It's in dark as in color. It's hard to see. It's definitely hard to see, and so not surprised in it. I know I read a story on it this week that they wanted it dark. They did it on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, well, the cinematic was supposed to be dark. I would prefer a little bit more light. I would. I'd like to be able to see what I'm doing here. But the bottom line is, I thought it was good. I did. You know, it was an interesting episode. I'm trying not to say anything too much of people who haven't seen it. But once again, I don't feel bad for you, seeing as though the next episode is in 11 hours. I mean, so if you haven't seen it by now, you're really on your own here. But I thought it was good. I think we all assumed one person would be the hero and end up being somebody else. And
That's good.
You know, once again, and I think it was good the way they did it, because I think the right person may have been, you know, for what that person trained for, they may have gotten it right. Mm-hmm. You know, but one little interesting thing, I gotta try and say this without giving up too much, is that the writers, they were on one of the late shows, might have been Kimmel, and they talked that the ones that died last week, the bad guys, they may not be done yet. Mm-hmm. You know, they wouldn't commit that those guys are done. So kind of find that interesting. I don't know how you're going to revive them, but I wonder, you know, maybe a certain group of people didn't. All right, I'm going to stop talking before I do give stuff away.
But exactly. 3 episodes left, so we'll see what happens. But it should be
long
an interesting
episodes
one tonight. Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much they're all theatrical, right? They're all at least 1 hour 20.
Right. All right, so let's get back to baseball. Cubs beat the Cardinals 6-5. On the Cubs side, you had Javier Baez 2-for-4 with a home run. Let's see, any pitching stuff to talk about here? Darvish, 4 innings, 5 earned runs, 4 Ks. He gave up a home run, 5.79 ERA, 1.71 WHIP. Not good for Darvish. Still coming off that injury from last year. Matt Carpenter 3-for-5, 2 runs batted in for the Cardinals, and Jose Martinez hit a home run, 2-for-5, 2 runs scored, now batting 364. So I wanted to talk a little Indians because of what happened with Corey Kluber, but the Indians beat the Mariners 5-4 yesterday. Corey Kluber earlier in the week, I'm sure you know, if you follow baseball, you know, hit with a 102 mile per hour comeback of fractured his elbow. He's going to be reexamined in 3 to 4 weeks. Long term issue for him, obviously. But Jeffrey Rodriguez is going to be in the starting rotation. Had already made a couple of starts. Adam Plutko is pitching in AAA, recovering from a forearm strain. Zach Plesac, currently pitching for AA. 0.86 ERA this season, struck out 28 batters, walked just 3 and a little over 31 innings pitched. So talk about, I guess, the long-term effect of with the Indians. Basically, their offense failing. You know, Jose Ramirez batting 188 as a team. They're hitting 215. So they were really counting on that starting pitching staff. They've already without Mike Clevenger for a while.
Okay. I didn't know where you were stopping there. You're right. This team was loaded on star pitching, right? This is what they were banking on this year with Kluber, Bauer, Carrasco, Clevenger, Bieber. And it was, in my mind, probably the best top five in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you've already lost Clevenger. All right, he suffered the injury. He's out. I think he'll be back in June, it looks like, although maybe a little bit before then. He's starting to throw now. And by I mean throw, mm-hmm. not pitch, throw. I think he's throwing from 90 feet. So he's building it up now. I would expect, once again, an early June return for him. They have not given a timetable on Kluber. We're still waiting for that. Surgery is still a possibility. My guess, if it's surgery, we won't see him until the second half, maybe July, August. If he can avoid surgery, which right now they think he might be able to, once again, mid to late June, I don't think it's out of the question here for a broken arm. Either way, it's not good. Right, it's not good because the offense isn't good enough to overcome this. And you mentioned the main reason why. This offense wasn't going to be good anyway this season. But now when you have Jose Ramirez, the third overall consensus pick in most fantasy leagues, playing like crap, that's an issue. That's an issue. Fantasy owners are sort of screwed here. What are you going to do? You really can't bench him. You got to keep putting him in there. I guess you could bench him if you have another great second baseman or middle of the field on your roster. But you're probably stuck here. You can't trade him because I would take him. If someone wants to trade him, I would definitely buy low, assuming he breaks out of it eventually. But the problem is, if you own him, are you going to take 80 cents on the dollar? I don't know if you are. But certainly if you want to trade him, you can come talk to me. I'll buy in Jose Ramirez. So you're sort of stuck just putting him in there and hoping he figures it out. We're only a month in. It could be once against Cleveland. A lot of cold games. Maybe he just needs to warm up a little bit. But it's unlikely he's going to return the value we had on him at draft time. And that's life.
Yeah.
You just hope he breaks it out, returns some value. Right now he's not returning anything here. So I think you got to be patient with Jose Ramirez right now. Kluber is, I think, a different story here. Now you think about it. Think about Kluber, Joe. Indians had let it be known that they were willing to trade him during the offseason. That the Yankees were somewhat involved, Padres were somewhat involved. No deals could be worked out. That's already a red flag, that a team like the Cleveland's looking to move somebody. He's 33 years old, so he's far from young. In baseball, he's probably just a tick past middle age, so that's not good. Last couple of seasons, he's died in the second half, or especially at the end, August, September playoffs, hasn't been the same pitcher. Not good.
Right.
And his numbers this year, terrible. Terrible. 5.8 ERA, 1.65 whip. All right, that's not good. Striking out about a batter per inning. That's fine. It's about what we expect him. His fastball velocity is down about a mile per hour. All right, so there's a lot of red flags here. So, fantasy owners, if you have an IL slot, you put him on IL. You're not releasing him. If somebody were willing to pay me something, if someone were willing to give me 75 cents on the dollar right now, I would take it. You're losing him for 4 to 6 weeks minimum anyway. He's not hasn't pitched well even when healthy. I would take 75 cents on the dollar if someone wanted to give it to me right now. I would do it fairly easily. Now, I don't own Kluber in any league. I avoided him because I didn't like what I saw, and the age thing and everything else. So I wasn't paying, a top pitcher price for him. But I think the warning signs were already there. I think now they're in big neon flashing lights now that his time as an ace, I think, is over.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Great points. And back to Jose Ramirez, I'm with you. I think I'd buy low on him. But you also have to remember that second half that he had last year. Batted 218 compared to 302 batting average first half with a 628 slugging, 218 with a 427 slugging second half. So he's been slumping for a while now.
He has, and there are warning signs there, too. They're not neon flashing lights, but there are some warning signs there that maybe he's not the player we thought he was. And that's why I'll buy low. If I can buy low, I'll take the chance. Doesn't work out? Hey, fine. I'm not paying full price for him. I'm not going to do that.
Right, right. All right, when we come back, we'll turn our attention for a segment to the NFL. Take a look at the NFC East and what happened during the draft and what we could expect for the 2019 season. We'll be right back with more Fantasy Sports Today.